Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I always try to promote the good works of our regular guests, and today's no different, but I will be honest with you, there was an extra tingle in my fingers as I retweeted Jeff Chedia's article, Falling Short in Spotlight, Officially a Problem for Ravens. And so I was very quick to retweet that before your appearance. Well done, Jeff Chedia. I love the content there.
Okay.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing well, given everything happening in the world today. I'm up. Excited to talk to you guys.
We're excited to have you, especially after what we saw on Monday Night Football. Let's just take a step back and have you talk about Patrick Mahomes for as long as you want. Describe the performance that you saw from, by the way, a father-to-be, as announced by Patrick Mahomes and Brittany. They have a baby Mahomes on his or her way to Kansas City, so congratulations to those two wonderful people. Now, tell me what you saw on the field from Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense on Monday night.
Well, obviously they put on a show. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, anybody who watched the game, you know, from the jump, they were dialed in. And I'll say this. I think that as great as Patrick was, I think you have to give as much credit to the Chiefs coaching staff, because that was as much about them out coaching the Ravens staff as it was Patrick Mahomes doing what he did. When you're dialing up the plays that they dialed up at the times they dialed them up, and the Ravens, I think, blitzed 21 times and didn't have one sack in the game. That's the strength of theirs. It felt like the game, the Chiefs had every answer to the question. Like, they had the test before the game even started. And so that, you know, I think for whatever reason, and as I watched that game, I think, you know, Patrick played great. I don't want to diminish that. But to me, that game was summed up by three plays. One was – the first one was the last touchdown pass he threw in the first half to Mecole Hardman, which was, you know, a two-man route against a three-deep coverage. And Marcus Peters tries to jump a route, and it allows Mecole Hardman to get behind the defense and throw a touchdown pass. Like, that, to me – you know, people will say that's a phenomenal throw, but it's really –
You said Marcus Peters there, didn't you? Is that what –
Yeah, exactly. But really, it's a play call that you I don't know if they felt he would jump it, but obviously he did.
Oh, I think they did.
I think they had an idea what his tendencies are.
I think they felt it.
Yeah, but even then –
They felt it down in their plums.
Yeah, but even then, it's like you're still talking about two receivers going up against six defenders. So even if he tries to jump a route, you still have three other guys back there who have nothing to do but look. So it's – I think I bring that play up because I think it typifies Baltimore's issue in that game, which was the Chiefs were very good at using their aggressiveness against them. You know, and it felt like that game in the first half especially played out. It was almost like, you know, Steven's a big fight guy. You remember the Tommy Hearns, Marvin Hagler fight back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
It felt like that kind of.
I watched that once a year at least, and yes, I love it.
It felt like the Ravens came in with that kind of mentality of Tommy Hearns. We're just gonna punch and punch and punch and try to knock you out. We're gonna give you our best shot. We're gonna throw everything we got at you, and they never really adjusted in the first half to what the Chiefs obviously knew about their strategy, about being able to attack their blitzes. So I think that was the first one. I think the second play that stood out to me was in the first Ravens drive when the Ravens went down the field running the football, and then got into the red zone and they called two passes. And I said, okay, here's a team that's trying to be too cute or has all this stuff they want to do in this game. And instead of going to their strength, they get away from their identity and start trying to make plays through the passing game. Now, maybe they could have gotten stuffed. Who knows if they ran the ball. But to me, it seemed like that was a moment when they clearly lost track of who they were. And, again, that happened when it was 13-10. And they came out. Chiefs got stopped, went 3-and-out. Ravens came back on the field. They threw two passes, first two plays, and went 3-and-out. And I said, this game's over. Because the Ravens want to play this game as if they just want to go point for point against the Chiefs. You're not going to beat the Chiefs doing that. I think if you go back to the week before when the Chiefs played the Chargers, the Chargers typically give the Chiefs problems because they actually try to control things. They try to control the tempo of the game, and they try to limit the big plays. If you allow Patrick Mahomes the opportunity to run around and throw the ball down the field, one, it's going to demoralize your defense. And that last touchdown pass clearly demoralized the Ravens' defense. But I think on the flip side of it, when the Chiefs got that held them to a field goal on that first drive instead of a touchdown and they started throwing the football, I think it energized the Chiefs' defense because it said to them, we don't have to worry about their most dangerous threat, which is the quarterback. If he's throwing the ball, he's a lot less dangerous than he is running the football. And so I think those three plays to me told me that the Ravens weren't ready to play in that game.
So we had Steve Levy on the show before the game, and he was talking about Lamar Jackson, and I asked him about his, you know, how much has he improved, you know, in his couple years as a starter, and he threw out a stat that described why he's a good pocket passer. This is what his numbers are in the pocket this year, and they're good numbers. And my thought on that was not all pocket passes are created equal. Yeah. If you're throwing a pass from in the pocket after a play action when everybody on the other side thinks you're running and you got all day to throw, and you got a guy in man coverage down the field that's wide open, it's one thing. It's another thing when you're passing from the pocket and the other team knows you're going to throw the ball. And I just am curious, like, does this take some steam away from all that momentum that, hey, once the Ravens were down, that guy didn't throw for 100 yards in the game?
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, you're asking me, is he made progress as a pocket passer? Is that what you're asking?
Is the progress that he has made, has it been overstated? Have we overestimated how much better he's gotten as a passer?
No, I think the Ravens, or Lamar Jackson's issue, which is therefore the Ravens' issue, is I think he wants too much to show that. I think when I watch him play, in these games especially, you guys probably don't watch him play in a lot of other games. I see
not
him
as
play.
Closely as I watch him play the Chiefs,
I watched
sure.
him play the Texans last week and the week before, and he looked great from the pocket. He was 18 for 24, and it was a lot of similar situations. What changes, part of it's the play calling. Part of it is that I think he's so consumed by that, and I don't know if he'd ever admit that publicly, but it shows in the way he plays in this game. I think that you watch Mahomes play, yeah, he makes plays from the pocket, but a lot of his biggest plays come when he's moving around in the pocket mm-hmm. or he's escaping the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson, for whatever reason, when he drops back, he wants to sit there and go through progressions and look around and do all that stuff. It's like, why aren't you moving in the same way in this game? Because mm-hmm. you do it in other games. And so, like, and he tried to downplay this going into the Monday night game, that it wasn't that big of a game, that important of a game. And I don't think that he sees it. I think neither player sees it as it's me against him. You know, it's not like Jordan versus Magic or something like that. But
they know.
But they know. But I think, and you. But you have heard Lamar Jackson say this. And I want to be somebody who is a passer first. I want to be somebody who's not a runner first. And that, you know, I'm pretty good for a running back. Like, he hears those. Mm-hmm. those critiques, and he knows that's what's dogged him coming in the league. I just think that, you know, it's in those plays I mentioned, you don't know if that's, I'm assuming that's him making the read and going to the passing option, or if it's the play calling part of it. But in this particular game with this particular team, it's a lot like what the Chiefs had going with the Patriots and the Steelers in the past. Like, now it certainly has to be a mental block for him. And it's, you know, those runs you see in other games, he had one in this game, but you don't see him taking over the game in the way he does against other opponents, because I think he's trying too hard to show he can beat you with the pass. I mean, what they were doing really towards the end of the game when they got back into it, I mean, the Chiefs were just all out blitzes and just sitting back in zone coverage. I mean, it's like, yeah, you got to be able to. I specifically remember the last sack they had where he just dropped back. They blitzed everybody, Frank Clark and I think Taco Charlton blitzed upfield, and he just kind of just kept going backwards. It's just like, if you want to be a pocket passer, you got to be able to step up, make a move, make a guy miss. And sometimes, you know, and I think Alex Smith learned how to do this later in his career when he got here. Sometimes getting 3-4 yards is good enough. You don't have to get, you know, 15, 16-yard game. That's Mahomes. You're not going to get the 25, 30-yard play all the time. But if you're able to get in the second and six, third and three, you can do some work. I think that's a part of his issue, is that in his head he wants to show, hey, I'm a passer too. I can throw the football, and you're not going to show that when Patrick Mahomes is on the other side of the field.
Jeff Chedia is our guest from NFL Network and NFL.com. You can read Jeff's column about the Ravens' struggles in the spotlight. I retweeted that at SSJWHB. So the question that I've heard a few people asking coming out of that game, look, we know the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. They deserve to be called the best team in football because they're the defending champs. They're 3-0. But we've all just assumed it's the Chiefs 1, the Ravens 2, and then there's a gap. Do you still believe that coming out of this game, or do we need to give more attention to the Steelers, by the way, who have a one-game lead now with the Ravens in their division, the Buffalo Bills at 3-0, and I know it's not pretty. It seems like it's never pretty, but the bottom line is, for a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year, Tennessee is 3-0, and there's something to be said for winning and a team that had success in the playoffs last year, so you have to include them in any kind of conversation when you talk about AFC playoff teams. And so is it the Ravens still number two, or has someone else caught your eye in the AFC that looks like real contenders in this conference?
Yeah, the Ravens are still two. I mean, this game was really about the Chiefs playing at a high level and the Ravens not playing at a high level. And I think if you've watched the Ravens enough or know their pedigree or their talent level, it'd be hard to argue that they can't play better than that. You know, I think that if they did play again, I think it'd probably be a closer game because they play close games. The first two games they played against this team were close. I think that the Ravens just came in with a misguided game plan. It didn't adjust well. The Chiefs had a great game plan. Mahomes had a great day. Their defense played lights out, really shut down the Ravens' offense. And so, but I don't think that means that you're going to minimize the Ravens as a team now. I mean, the Ravens got beat by the Browns, like gave up 40 points to the Browns last year. They lost to this team in week four and won 12 straight games. So I feel like they're going to be there at the end. I think that the division they play in is tougher. I think the Ravens and the Steelers are going to battle it out and probably split there, which is why I probably would assume the Chiefs would have I thought the Chiefs would be the number one seed anyway, but I think that that's more likely now given that they've got a game up on the Ravens. But the Steelers are good. Yeah, the Bills are good. The Patriots are good. The Titans are good. I think all those teams are showing that they have the ability to go deep into the playoffs. They all have their strengths. I think for the most part, aside from the Ravens did against the Chiefs, they're all playing to their strengths. So I think you're looking at – and I think the Raiders are probably going to be in. The Raiders or the Chargers are going to probably be in that mix at some point if they're able to find some consistency. I know the Raiders had a tough day going to Foxborough, but I think that's a lot like what I think about the Ravens right now. I think that's they got beat by a good team. You know, that happens. The Chiefs are going to lose some games this year too, and you're not going to be like, hey, this team's falling apart now. So it's week three, long way to go, but I would say the Ravens are still one of the top three teams in the league right now.
You didn't mention any other teams from the AFC West.
I said the Raiders and the Chargers. Oh,
Raiders. He said the Raiders and the Chargers. He's two of them.
You think both of those guys are, like, how good do you think they are?
Well, the Chargers just played the Chiefs. Could have beaten the Chiefs last week, so that tells me that they're pretty good. They have a lot of talent. You know, I mean, it's not like they lucked into that. I mean, they were beating the Chiefs pretty good for about 3.5 quarters. And the Raiders, I think the Saints are a pretty good team. They beat the Saints without Michael Thomas. That's a big loss, but the Saints have a pretty good defense. And the people can say, look, the Saints are struggling a little bit right now. Just as the Ravens, they'll end up being a double-digit win team. So, to me, that's an impressive win over the Saints. And, again, going to the Patriots, I think this week the Patriots are going to be a tough challenge for the Chiefs. The Patriots are they're always tough because of Bill Belichick and what they do, but now they're playing a different style of football. It's harder to prepare for that. If you haven't seen it over and over again, I think teams are trying to figure out how they're going to attack with a more mobile quarterback. So I don't diminish the Raiders because they lost that game. I mean, you look at Derek Carr's playing well. They got a Pro Bowl tight end. They got a Pro Bowl running back.
It was amazing the way they took Waller away, isn't it?
But that's what they do. I mean, they're always going to take away your best option and make you play left-handed if you're a right-handed, you know.
So who do you think they take away Sunday?
I think they take away Tyreek Hill. That's what they always try to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that look, and that's why I'm saying what happened with the Ravens was not why they couldn't adjust to it. I understand they're really good at blitzing and they want to attack you, but end of the day, the Chiefs are at their best when they're going down the field and Mahomes is dialed in. What you want is Mahomes to be itching to make a play. What you want is the receiver to be itching to make a play, because then maybe they'll drop a ball, maybe they'll force a throw, maybe he'll force a throw. Yeah, there's no way the Patriots are going to come in here and try to blitz Patrick Mahomes every down. That's not going to happen. You know, now what they'll do, I think what you'll see more discipline. You'll see what you see every time these two teams have played. I mean, I think they've defended him pretty well. I mean, you're going to see a lot more discipline pass rushing. You're going to see a lot more tricks in coverage, you know, mixing it up. They have a good secondary. They have athletic players, hybrid players. And they have more tape. I mean, that's the downside for the Chiefs of what's happened the last couple games, is they've had to use a lot of plays. They've had to show a lot of stuff that they probably wanted to hold on to, especially against the Chargers. They had to go deep into the playbook. So now, and like I said, you go back and you look at that play that I mentioned with the Ravens game, the touchdown pass to Hardman. Well, if you're a defensive back, now you're probably going to say, hey, he's going to throw that ball. Most quarterbacks wouldn't throw that ball. He's going to throw it. You know, I always think back to when the Colts had a tough time beating the Patriots early in Peyton Manning's career, lost six straight games. And that when they finally beat them and got to the Super Bowl, AFC Championship game, Brady threw a late interception. I was at the game. He was on a slant route. And the guy who picked it off, this guy named Marlon Jackson, who also played at Michigan too, somebody asked him about the interception. And he said, like, how'd you get the beat on that? And he said, I know Brady likes to throw blind. So he'll look away, but he'll come back to a receiver. That's what I'm talking about as far as how the Patriots, you know, what the Chiefs have shown. Like, you begin to pick up on what guys want
tendencies,
to do.
Yeah.
Tendencies,
yeah.
So if you think a guy's not going to do it and he does it, over time you begin to think, oh, maybe he will make this throw. And so I think the Patriots are very smart about how they approach that. Whereas, you know, like you watch the Ravens game, the Ravens are trying to A-gap blitz and trying to do all this stuff, and Mahomes just slides outside like he's been doing the last 2 years. Like, that's not a great strategy for defending Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, I think but to your point, yeah, I think the Raiders are a lot like they were when they went 12-4 a few years ago when Jack Del Rio was the coach. I think that when Derek Carr is dialed in and playing at a high level, they've got good pieces around him. They know what they want to be. They can cause some teams some problems.
I predicted that the Raiders, after their 2-0 start, would then be 2-4. So we will see if they're revealed in this upcoming schedule. I'll give them maybe 3-3. So they've already lost at the Patriots in this stretch. Now they play the Bills, at the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
What will they emerge with? You think they're going to win how many of those next three games?
They're 2-1, right? I could see them splitting that. I could see them losing all four. You're right.
They already lost one. So it was Patriots, Bills, Chiefs, Buccaneers, the stretch that I thought that they would have some big problems with.
But I could see them coming out 3-3. I could see them. I don't know where those games are at with.
Bills are at home.
It's home against Buffalo, at Chiefs, and then home against Bucks. And then they go at Browns and at Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly ain't easy. But, you know, hey, they beat the Saints, which is more than I thought they'd do. They lost to the Patriots. We'll see. I think this is going to be really interesting to watch them.
So you think they're not as good because you think they're not as talented or because they're not well? What do you think? What don't you like about them right now?
Carr?
Oh, well, he's playing well.
No, he is playing well, but I just think, you know, when it gets to it, yeah. I think ultimately. And I don't know that they have enough outside of Waller. You know, Ruggs has already been banged up. I don't know, like, after that, you know, what are their weapons? The running back is terrific. Love the kid. Josh Jacobs looks terrific. I'm not totally sold on Carr. I think eventually when the heat gets turned up, he'll melt. But it'll say a lot. The next couple of games, they have a chance to prove me wrong. Bills, Chiefs, and Buccaneers.
So about the Chargers then?
Well, they always lose in the end. They'll play you tough. And then
Chris Harris Jr. is out now for like a month, isn't he? I mean, they keep getting hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look. Those
are two things you can bank on. That for some reason, they're always ravaged by injury, and then they always have just unbelievable ways to lose football games. Like this one, Jeff, I don't know if you saw that last play. They won that damn – they had that game won against the Panthers. Justin Herbert they takes the ball over at the one-yard line, and he drove that team down. And on that last play, that hook and ladder, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
If Austin Ekeler just catches the football, he trots into the end zone, and they have a miraculous victory, but they don't. And it just seems like that's the ballad of the Chargers over the past couple of years. They're right there, and then something goofy happens, and they can't get over it. And that's – as much as winning is contagious, that's got to be something that hangs with them. And it happens too many times to ignore.
Yeah, but again, I'll say this: last year, 2 years ago, they were 12-14. Last year, they were done in by countless turnovers, mainly by the quarterback. And the quarterback being gone, they tend to. You're right; they're banged up, and they tend to be their own worst enemy. But they also play a lot of close games, and so if they're able to manage that going forward. I'm not saying they're going to be 13-3, but I could see them, just as the Raiders were last year, I could see them coming down the stretch, being in contention for a playoff spot, probably being 9-7, 8-8, 9-7, maybe even 10-6 if things break right, if they get hot.
If they hit on Herbert and he continues to develop with that pass rush, they're going to be in hell a lot of games. But it's just can they get the wins in the fourth quarter? They haven't done that. But I do like Herbert. I've been impressed with him these past couple of weeks. Let's take a break. We'll talk to Jeff Jadeen. When we come back, let's see who he thinks the Chiefs will play in the Super Bowl on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, well, they mix it up. They mix a combination of man zone, blitz zone, and some, you know, man blitzes, pressure blitzes. So they're not afraid to call them. They make you offensively deal with everything. So they really test your execution and, again, have some pretty experienced and savvy players back there. The linebackers, of course, Matthew. And, you know, Jones is a very, very disruptive player up front, you know, along with Clark. So they got guys at every level that are a problem. And they have a, you know, a pretty extensive scheme, kind of like they have on offense. So they give us a lot to prepare for.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's dig in a little bit more. Patriots and Chiefs at Arrowhead. And I'll be honest with you, I feel very foolish. We mentioned this to Trini Kuznarek a little bit earlier. I was so anxious. I was so ready to make my AFC playoff picks and not include the Patriots. Because for the last decade and a half, that's how you start. Well, okay, who's going to make the playoffs in the AFC? Yeah, all right, Patriots, and then who else? That was the sure thing, and I just didn't want to do it, and now I feel dumb, and things could fall apart, but they looked better than I thought, and it wasn't going from Brady to Cam Newton. It was the amount of defensive talent they lost on the opt-outs, you know, and Dante Hightower, and just, you know, so many really, really good defensive players, but they didn't lose the coach and the coaching staff, and so, you know, and they almost won that damn game against the Seahawks, so you tell me, how good are the Patriots, and what do you expect to see on Sunday at Arrowhead?
Well, they're good, and they're good for the same reason you just said. They've got the coach who's still there, and he's proven over time that he can. This is Andy Reid when it comes to quarterbacks. He can take people you've never heard of before, or people that you didn't have a high opinion of, and turn them into world beaters for a week or two. And
that's a great analogy.
And so you have, I always tell people, like, you know, no one ever heard of Trey Flowers or Kyle Van Noy or Jamie Collins or Malcolm Butler, all these guys who've played well there and they're playing elsewhere now.
I thought it was Matt Patricia, though. Matt Patricia's the one that won him the Super Bowl, if you remember.
Either, right? Funny how that Lions conversation didn't come up anymore.
Well, you guys be fair. Hey, he had one of the biggest interceptions in Super Bowl history, and you guys won't give him credit for
it. They did get a win. You're right. But, yeah, they're good. And they're always going to be dangerous because what they do well is that they play to their strengths. And I referenced it in the previous segment when it came to the Ravens and how they got away from their identity. What the Patriots won't do is get away from something that works for them. they will stick with it. We saw this, you know, 2 years ago in the AFC Championship game. If they become a running team, they're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. And that's what they've become of late. I think they had, 220-plus yards rushing in that game against the Raiders. They got multiple running backs who can do damage with, you know, James White, Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead. And the quarterback is playing very well for them. And I've actually been very impressed with Cam Newton. I know that hasn't, you know, there's other quarterbacks out there who are tearing it up right now, from Mahomes to Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson was playing well before previous game. Aaron Rodgers has had is still doing Aaron Rodgers-like stuff. But I think Cam Newton's one of the biggest stories in the NFL. How he's come in there in a short amount of time, won a lot of respect, really played to his strengths, stayed healthy. I think when he's right, you know, they're a dangerous offense, and you really can't underscore that. You have to, you know, this is going to be a tough game for the Chiefs, because you know what Belichick can do defensively. You know that he's going to scheme up something to create challenges, especially in the first half, for this offense, and you know that their offense is different now. And so, yeah, they've been doing this for 3 weeks, but, you know, I think the threat of running really changes the whole dynamic of what they can do, because all of a sudden you're seeing Julian Edelman, you know, becoming more of a threat down the field. You're seeing some of these guys that people don't really know much about, like N'Keal Harry or is it Damian Bird, people who were just, you know, just names, but Cam Newton starts running around back there. You got to account for him, and all of a sudden somebody breaks open and he's hitting them with a 25-yard gain. You know, they're literally one fourth down stop away from being undefeated right now. And when you're talking about facing a team like that on a short week after you played a really tough division game, after you played in the spotlight on Monday Night Football against a really good team, this could be a trap game. I mean, you hate to think about New England being a trap game, but at some point you can't keep dialing up the emotion and the intensity. At some point it catches up to you. So I wouldn't pick the Chiefs to lose this game, but I wouldn't be surprised they lost it.
Give us a score.
I think I'd probably go Chiefs 23-21.
So last
Jake,
year,
that sounds like an under, buddy. I don't know if you're paying attention to that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nate. Just hit him.
Yeah, I'm trying not to.
Right. Because you are under right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'm even, but my PayPal account hurts. Oh.
That's right.
You're even, like, for what time period are you even?
I mean, I don't owe anybody anything right now.
You've paid your debts.
Yes. My balance is zero.
with
the guy.
Uh-huh. All right. Nate, moving on. What was your question again?
Well,
Nate,
I feel like this is a game where Clyde Edwards-Helaire becomes really important, because you talked about how the priority number one is going to be take away Tyreek Hill. That's what Belichick's done. You had to take priority number two then is to contain Travis Kelce. He's done a decent job of that the last few games. So last year they played that low-scoring game. I think it was, 26-23? And I was looking up the numbers. The running backs for the Chiefs in that game were LeSean McCoy and Darwin Thompson. And LeSean McCoy ran it for 11 times for 39 yards. Darwin Thompson had four catches for 36 yards in that game. When they've had a good running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield like Damian Williams in the AFC Championship game, he had 66 yards receiving and two touchdowns. And the year before that, they had Kareem Hunt, and he had a big day receiving. I feel like this is an opportunity. This is why they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire right here, as a game like this, isn't it? If they're going to take away Kelce and Hill, he needs to go out and have a good day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a fair point. And, yeah, they will put a lot on his shoulders. They will ask him to do more things, because Kelce will be taken away, or they'll try to take him away as well. And they'll ask Sammy Watkins to make more plays. They'll ask whoever.
DeMarcus Robinson.
Mark McCole Hardman, those kind of players, to do more stuff. And they will be more disciplined in how they attack Patrick. I mean, the reason that they've had success defending him, keeping the games close, is because they do whatever it takes to make that happen. And so I believe this game will be more like, I think their approach will be more like they had in the AFC title game, where they're going to try to limit possessions. You heard the commentators say that during the Chiefs game on Monday night, where they said, if you're going to play the Chiefs, you probably want to take away possessions. You don't want to have them having 11 possessions. You want them to have 8 or 9. And so I definitely suspect that, you know, if they're going to take away the Chiefs' big play potential and they're likely to play more to their run game, yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have to play a big factor because the clock's going to burn fast. They're going to have to find ways to exploit that. And they did that in the first week, so it certainly is something they can do. It's not really a mystery. But, you know, it's for whatever reason, these teams tend to play tight games. And it's easy to forget now that the last game they played in the regular season in Foxborough last year, the Patriots had a chance to win the game late, right? They were trying to throw the ball to Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm.
Last play
of the game. So imagine that's Cam Newton out there running around versus Tom Brady. You know, your whole play call is totally different.
All right, so we have Jeff Jadeo. We'll get to picks in the next segment. Quickly, though, Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star tweets out, Chiefs rookie Legarius Sneed suffered a broken collarbone Monday night against the Ravens, a source tells Sam McDowell. So that absolutely sucks. We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, we got Jeff Jadeo for another 5 minutes or so. So let's get some picks. He picked the Chiefs to beat the Patriots 23-21. Now, Jeff, Thursday Night Football, will you pick to vomit during the first half or the second half while watching the Broncos and Jets?
I'm going to just take a pass. I'm going to try to get caught up on some binge watching of something. I don't know what it'll be.
Ted Lasso.
Which head coach in that game would you like to hitch your wagon to? Adam Gase or Vic Fangio?
Well, probably Fangio. I'd probably go at this stage. Wow. But they've both been snake bit by injuries. I like Adam Gase. I like him a lot. You asked me to pick one, I'll take Fangio because he hasn't been a head coach as long as Adam Gase has. Adam Gase has a longer record to scrutinize, but they've both been been hurt by major. I mean, you start losing Von Miller and Cortland Sutton and
your quarterback.
I mean, they're playing a third string quarterback, and then you look at the Jets. They lost. This was their own fault. They traded Jamal Adams, but they lost C.J. Mosley to an opt out, and then you've got all your receivers are banged up. Le'Veon Bell's got a hamstring pull. I mean, it's just like it's. Easy,
can't figure out why Mosley opted out either, though. I mean,
I'm good. Hey, everybody, I'm fine.
You're 85 million linebacker. Yeah, but yeah, they're both struggling, and they're probably both be out of work at the end of the season.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Here's some actual good games to ask you about. Okay, we're gonna get through these. Noon game. 2-1 Colts at 3-0 Bears, led by Nick Foles.
Former Chiefs all over the coaching staffs and front offices.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Andy Reid tree.
I'll take the Colts. I don't know why.
Phillip Rivers goes to Soldier Field and gets a win, says Jeff Jadeo.
I feel like the Bears have been like somehow cheating back here. they should probably be 1-2 right now.
Soft 3-0.
Yeah.
Okay, 2-1 Browns at 1-2 Cowboys.
Whew, that's a tough game because quietly the Browns have been playing good football. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt have been getting it done, but the Cowboys, they got to win a game. They got to win a game, so I'll go with the Cowboys here.
You like that owner throwing the quarterback under the bus?
Yeah.
come on. He's the GM. 1-2 Saints at 1-2 Lions.
Really?
The Saints are only favored by 4. Okay. Damn it. Now, come on.
All right. I'll take the Saints in this one. Somehow, I think the Lions getting on a winning
streak. Ye of little faith.
He's taking the Saints, and he ain't lying. what about now? I don't know if this game's going to take place, but if it does, Steelers at Titans, battle of the undefeateds.
That's right, battle of the COVID.
Right.
Steelers. COVID. Steelers are looking really good. I think that their defense is legit. They've got a number two receiver in Chase Claypool who's popped up, and Benny Snell's a nice running back. They got too much for the Titans to handle.
They also have the benefit of actually getting to practice this week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Building is open.
Their building is open. That advantage Steelers.
Okay, two more games.
Says you.
the battle of the surprising winless teams, 0-3 Vikings, 0-3 Texans. Who gets their first win?
Texans. They played well in Pittsburgh, had a chance to win that game. That surprised me. The Vikings,
they got
all
issues.
Kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. Just giving up points like crazy, and Kirk Cousins isn't playing well. Texans get back in their groove.
And here's a big one. The game to watch at 3:25, Bills at Raiders. Ooh, really interested, man, to watch this game, Jeff Chedia.
Bills, man. Josh Allen, that crazy Josh Allen, boy. We keep sitting
here. I told you guys he was great.
Yeah. Nate's just always on it, man.
I told you.
When it comes out of quarterback, Nate is just all over it.
Yeah, I will go Bills just because I think Josh Allen's just playing out of his mind right now. It's a tough game, tough road trip, but I'll just take the Bills.
If there's a chance to play for the tie Sunday night between the Eagles and 49ers, will Doug Peterson do it again? Is he looking for another tie?
Man, that Philly's gone long since forgotten, huh? He might. I don't know. Eagles got a lot of problems, boys. Right. Since they won that championship, they just haven't been able to get it consistent. They have always got receivers on. You talk about the Chargers being beat up. Eagles are always beat up.
Yep.
How much will the Falcons lead by before they collapse against the Packers on Monday?
They ain't going to lead this time.
I don't think they'll be leading. The bigger question is, will Dan Quinn leave Wisconsin with his job?
Wow.
That's a better question. And maybe he'd be left in Atlanta, right, Green then. Bay. Yeah.
There it is. Jeff, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, that's Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Thanks for listening to the Border Patrol today on Sports Radio 810 WHB.